In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, your fellow redeemed by the blood of Christ. I once heard a story about Winston Churchill. According to this story, a point he was trying to make in his speech was weak, at least he thought it was weak, and he couldn't find the right words to say to make that point seem stronger. And so he wrote in the margin of his speech, "Point is weak, yell loudly." Now, I don't know how true that is, but I know that happens with a lot of speakers, right? If they feel like their point is weak and they want to give their message more authority, they try to give it more authority by yelling loudly or by using big flowery language or by belaboring the point to exhaustion. For it's just so easy to try to rely on something else besides the message, besides the words, to give your message authority. And that's a very real temptation for us in the church. It's a very real temptation for us in the church to think that we have to somehow help the Word of God along a little bit, either by the way we present it or by the language we use, all so that we can convince more people that it is true and cause them to believe in it. It's a real temptation to think that way, since that so often is what happens in this world around us. And that's why it's good to look at the words of our text. For in this story of Jesus in that synagogue in Capernaum, we see this important truth. We see why every true prophet of God has authority. For let's look at our text. In our text, Jesus enters the synagogue in Capernaum on the Sabbath day. And first off, just see Jesus fulfilling the law for you. Never miss that point, right? We make a big deal about how Jesus had to be perfect if he was going to be your Savior. He couldn't sin once if he was going to make that trade with you, that trade where he took on your sins and he gave you his righteousness. He had to be absolutely perfect to make that trade with you, and so see him fulfilling the law for you when on the Sabbath day he goes into the synagogue. That's point one. But more importantly, for our purposes today, notice what Jesus did when he entered that synagogue in Capernaum. Jesus, he taught with authority. And unfortunately, that's something that the people in Capernaum, or really throughout Israel at that time, were not used to in the synagogue service. For you see, the synagogue service was designed after the return from captivity. It was designed by Ezra and the other priests as a way to get people more into the Word of God. And while in this synagogue service, there would be a set of responsive reading, sort of the way we do it in our liturgy today, while they would sing and pray the Psalms as we do today, one big part of the synagogue service was to be a lecture by a rabbi or a priest or an expert in the law, a lecture where he would expound upon the Word of God. But unfortunately, in Jesus' day, from everything we know, these lectures were absolutely terrible. And it wasn't because the speakers were boring speakers, though they may have been so, I don't know. But that's not why these lectures were so terrible. Instead, these lectures were so terrible because they weren't always expounding upon the Word of God. Instead, they were often expounding upon their own thoughts and ideas. For instead of talking about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and how God kept them so faithful, all so that he could send his Messiah through that line, oftentimes the experts in the law would make up their own stories, or if they were talking about the patriarchs, use them only as an example to follow. And instead of rejoicing at how the Messiah would come to make them clean, these experts in the law loved to lecture on Leviticus and talk about all the things that you have to do and how far you can go in order to make yourself clean or unclean. And instead of rejoicing in the great prophecies of the scriptures and showing how all these prophecies would be fulfilled by the Messiah, all too often they would focus on obscure prophecies and only talk about what God demanded of the people. You see the problem that was happening in the synagogue service at this time. They weren't preaching the word of God, focusing on the word of God, or expounding upon the word of God, even if they were reading the scriptures. Why? It's because they weren't preaching or expounding upon or focusing on Christ, the Messiah. It was not all about what he was coming to do to the people, but all too often it was about what the people could do in order to please God. And so it didn't matter how good of orators these speakers were. It didn't matter if you could listen to them read a phone book because they had such a beautiful voice. Their message in the synagogue service had no authority. How could it have authority? It was not focusing on Christ, who is the true prophet, the authoritative word of God. And so all that changed when Jesus started going into the synagogue and proclaiming that. For notice what happened when Jesus entered the synagogue in Capernaum. We read that the people were amazed. How could they not be amazed? Can you imagine listening to Christ, the true prophet, expound upon Scripture? Can you imagine listening to him talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and showing how God preserved them and kept their line, all so that he could come into the world and be the Messiah? Can you imagine him lecturing on Leviticus and talking about how you can't do everything to make yourself clean, and so he was going to be the perfect sacrifice to fulfill all sacrifices in order to make his people clean? Can you imagine him expounding upon the great prophecies, talking about how he was the fulfillment of all these prophecies? Can you imagine Jesus, the true prophet, proclaiming these words? Can you imagine how different it must have sounded than what the people were used to hearing from the expert in the law? And so it's no wonder we read that the people were amazed at Jesus' teaching, because he was teaching as one who had authority and not as the experts in the law. It wasn't because he was yelling loudly, but it was because of the message he was proclaiming. And isn't it amazing that people have the same reaction today when Christ's authoritative message is proclaimed? For there is a lot of bad preaching in this world right now, just as there was in Jesus' day. And I'm not getting on my high horse and comparing myself to others. I'm not saying you should only listen to Lutherans, that's it. That's not my purpose. I don't care who we're talking about, what synod we're talking about. There is a lot of bad preaching. You've heard it, right? You've heard it at a wedding or at a funeral. You've heard it when you are watching someone expound upon God's word, so to speak, on TV. You've heard it maybe at a church you've been attending, maybe even from this pulpit. You've heard some bad preaching. For if the focus on the preaching is 10 steps to a better life or to a better marriage, if the focus of preaching is just some story on morality, if the focus of preaching is you going up to God as opposed to God coming down to you, that is just plain bad preaching. It doesn't matter how good of an orator the person is. It doesn't matter if you could listen to his voice for hours. That message has no authority, because that's not the message of Christ, the true prophet, who alone can give his word authority. For there is only one way that a message can have authority. And that's only if it's coming from the true prophet. And you know who that true prophet is. You see it in our text. That prophet is your Savior, Jesus Christ, who not only speaks the words, but also fulfills them by dying and rising for you. That's why Jesus is the true prophet, someone who is even greater than Moses, as the writer to the Hebrews said. It's why Moses himself, in the book of Deuteronomy, 1,500 years before Christ was born, prophesied about this great prophet, Jesus, that would be coming soon. For when Jesus, as the true prophet, speaks, or when any other prophet speaks the message of the true prophet Jesus, that message has authority. For when Jesus, the true prophet, speaks, or when anybody is speaking his message, he is at work to fulfill it. You see, the words of Jesus, the true prophet, are not just information for you to do with whatever you deem fit. But the words of Jesus, the true prophet, they will always do exactly what he says they will do, because he is at work in them to perform great blessings for you. And as proof of that, look at what happens in our text. For all of a sudden, in this synagogue in Capernaum, a man appears who is possessed by an evil, unclean spirit. And this demon, this unclean spirit, he knew that Christ was the true prophet, right? He knew how much authority Jesus had, for he said to Jesus, "What do we have to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." This demon knew the authority that Christ had as the true prophet. He knew that all that had to happen was this true prophet just had to speak a word and he would be driven out of that man. And that's exactly what happened. For Jesus, the true prophet, says, "Be quiet, come out of him." And that's what the demon does. Sure, he left in a shriek, proving one more time how angry and evil he actually is, but he still left the man. Because Christ, the true prophet, his words have authority. Christ is at work through them to do exactly what he says they will do. That's why the demon was driven out of this man in Capernaum. And that's what's going to happen today whenever Christ, the true prophet, is speaking. And so, my dear Christian friends, if anyone is speaking the words of Christ, the true prophet, to you, and more than that, if they're speaking about how Christ, the true prophet, is the fulfillment of all Scripture, and how he suffered and died and rose for you to win for you forgiveness, if that's the message someone is proclaiming to you, that message will have authority. It doesn't matter if the person speaking that message is a good orator or not. It doesn't matter if his voice is soothing to listen to or not. If that's the message that is being proclaimed, the message of Christ, the true prophet who died and rose, that's a message that'll have authority. That's a message that will bring blessings to you. This is why that message of Christ is what brought you to saving faith. This is why this message of Christ is what gives you such peace and comfort, even amid terrible struggles in your life. This is why this message of Christ is what washes away your sins and gives you life, life that you will enjoy for all eternity. It's all because it is the message of Christ, the true prophet, all because the true prophet Christ is at work through his message to do great things for you. It's the only way any speaker can have authority. It's only if Christ, the true prophet, is at work. And so, my dear Christian friends, here's my encouragement for you. Test everyone who is speaking the word of God to you. It does not matter who the person is. It does not matter what synod they belong to. It does not matter how often you have heard them preach. Every single time someone is speaking the word of God to you, test them. Test them to see if their message has authority, if their message is from Christ, the true prophet. And if that person passes the test, if that person is proclaiming the words of Christ, the true prophet, if he is proclaiming how Christ, the true prophet, is at work to do such great things for you, then you can be certain that that message will have authority. And if that message has authority in your life, you can be certain that by listening to that message, the message of Christ, the true prophet, you will be blessed. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise as we confess our faith in what Christ reveals, his holy word, using the words of the Apostles' Creed.